People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg with my co-host and friend, Larry.
There was a stall there, too.
I wanted to emphasize and friend. Co-host doesn't seem to be a fitting enough description or title for you.
But I am a co-host.
You are. You are a co-host. Equal.
I'm more than equal just a friend. I'm a co-host.
In this way, in this show. So good to have you back. Last week I was unfortunate that I didn't have you here, but I was fortunate to have a great guest, Iram Choksi, who was fantastic.
The show must go on.
She was lovely. She knew a lot. And we're going to bring her back. We'll talk about that a little later in the show.
Yeah, good.
I'm going to bring her back for more of an open discussion about mental health awareness. And again, it's like we started the whole mental health and mental illness awareness month last month, or this month, actually. It's September
now. It was last month.
Wow, it's already September. Yeah. Was because of the shootings, right? Started in Gilroy, El Paso,
Ohio.
So we're like, we need to talk about this. We need to have a discussion and see what we can do to get involved.
Now it's back
in the
Texas
meantime,
again.
We have great guests on, really gave us some great information and alerted us to some of inconsistencies with what the media portrays and what the real story is and medication versus stigma and all those things, right? Mm-hmm. So because of that, we did these shows, and then this weekend we have another mass shooting in Texas. Texas has been really, unfortunately, at the center of a lot of these.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible and unfortunate that we're – what was the area, by the way, that – I forget the name of
it. Odessa.
Odessa, thank you. Scary to think that these shootings are happening in such a way that we've almost become desensitized that we don't even know where they are anymore. It's just like – where they're just popping up left and right.
What was it that Brad brought up this morning about what happened in Chicago? I mean,
this is what makes it disturbing. Because a gunman like that, I don't even want to say his name, in Odessa, kills 7 people, injures 25 plus. All we do is talk about it. And it's on the news and it's the story of the day. Yet in Chicago this weekend, there were something like 50-something shootings and spread across the same stretch of, ground that shooting, the shooter covered in Texas. In that same radius, there was something like triple the amount of homicides or quadruple the amount of homicides by gun. Mm-hmm. But no one's talking about it simply because it's been an epidemic in Chicago, especially in the south side of Chicago and in a lot of major cities, Detroit, New York. You're always going to get a lot of gun and violent crime, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't hear those because it's become such an understanding that that's just how it is in these areas. Whereas if there's a shooting like this one this past weekend, it becomes a news story and that's all they want to talk about. But really, there are bigger problems, and there are equally as big problems happening every day in this country that we should be addressing as well. And it's a good point. It's a fair point.
It is.
Do you agree?
I totally agree. But, I mean, I was thinking about one thing when you were talking. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's sensational. You know, the mass shootings are sensational, and that's what makes it big news at the time. But if you, for instance, like in large metropolitan areas, they have shootings all the time. They're actually commonplace,
right.
And we become
desensitized,
numb, you know, just dumbed down by it all. But think about this. I mean, the reason why one shooter taking so many lives is so much different is the fact that if you were just to take that many people in Chicago, give them an automatic weapon, and they all did the same thing, it would be catastrophic. You see what I'm saying? So it's the one guy with an automatic weapon that's killing all these people. The other ones are usually with semi-automatics, weapons, handguns, stuff like that.
Handguns, right.
Yeah. That's why it doesn't get the playtime that something like this would.
Right.
Because
it's an interesting point as well.
It's a different kind of way to approach it. But, I mean, it's because it's an automatic weapon, and we've talked about this in past shows, that I rarely give an opinion, but I will give you this much. I am 100% for banning those types of
automatic
weapons
across
the board.
It should be the first thing we did.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't understand. I will tell you, in fairness to both sides, because I have to straddle that line. I'm not here to tell you my side.
Yeah, I'm
but,
fair.
I mean, all I need to tell you about myself is I don't even want a gun. I don't want one. I have no interest.
I don't either.
If something's going to happen, and it's because I don't have a gun, then I'm going to have to accept that fate.
Spray them with Windex.
Right.
That works.
Oh, thanks.
It does.
Yeah, I spray myself with Windex. It hasn't kept me
down.
No,
it does. It does. It kills flies and ants like you wouldn't believe.
What? Flies and ants?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Windex.
Where did that come up? Where did insects come into this? Why are you talking about spraying insects?
Instead of using a gun, use Windex.
Okay. So you're really confusing me.
That's not hard to do.
Trying to say is that both sides, people I know on both sides, and I mean are far to the left and far to the right on this issue,
yeah,
all agree on one thing: ban automatic weapons. You don't
good,
need to be
good.
Able to shoot 40 rounds. If you love guns and you're one of those people who'd use it for hunting, you don't spray around the forest when you go hunting, right? If
yes,
you are
true.
Somebody who wants to go shoot at the range, you don't spray bullets at the target. You shoot one.
Yeah.
You shoot one at a time. Like, and again, I don't, whether I agree with it or not, that's not the point. It's just that that's the easiest thing we can do. Ban automatic weapons. And then I hear this stupid argument all the time. Well, they're going to get them anyway, so I'd rather have access to it instead of letting only the criminals get the guns. Well, this is proof. For the people that have that argument, this is a guy who didn't pass his background check. He had a criminal record. He wasn't able to legally obtain a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one of those things where a guy somehow got this automatic weapon. And I'm sure there's, by the time this airs, there'll probably be more information. You might be like, well, it's already been reported XYZ has happened. We recorded this on Tuesday. So you're talking 5 days later it's running. So again, things may have changed.
Yeah.
But
no,
this guy obviously obtained his gun legally, illegally.
Right.
So there's an argument on both sides always, but it's really not about which side you're on. It's about we all have to agree on one thing. This is becoming too common. And I know that there are other countries warning people when they travel to this country that it's a dangerous place to be with all the mass shootings. And we're so huge and vast that the likelihood of you flying into a situation like this, because these are random.
Yeah.
These aren't happening in like bad areas.
But those are the things that make the news, though.
I know. But
see?
This is what's happening in this country is people are afraid, still afraid. People obviously still want to come here. We all know that. But people are becoming afraid to come here because they think that they're going to be faced with one of these random shootings. And it's just a problem that we have to address. I don't care how we do it.
Here's the other thing. Have you ever thought of this? Forgive me for interrupting.
Sure. That's
somebody
okay. You interrupt all the time.
I know. Other countries, many other countries, I don't know how many, but many, if not most, have a lot more government control of the media and what the media is allowed to say.
Of saying what you want, right?
Our media can say whatever the heck they want to.
Right.
And do whatever that's why everybody knows what's going on in this country.
And you could say that the idea that we don't control the media is a good thing. And I will tell you, when you go to places like even the UK, the BBC is controlled by the
government.
Absolutely.
Even the TV.
No one can say what they really feel. And the ones that do get shut up very quickly. And that's not even extreme. You go to a lot of countries, it's very extreme.
Yeah, you're right. That's not extreme.
So that's that's an advantage. And that's something I'm proud of about this country.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is the media has taken it. And I'm a part of the media. So I'm actually.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you
about that. I have to look myself in the mirror. Stop it. Because, it's what the media decides to do with the platform, which is also why a lot of people get fed up with the media, because they present one side generally. And this is why I refuse to be partisan in any way on this show, because I'm not here for anybody who's listening to me. No one knows or cares what my opinion is. They might listen to me
well,
talk.
You're right about that.
Right. And I acknowledge it. But no one cares what my opinion is. So I'm not going to sit here and push it down your throat, or because I run a radio station.
You do
in
that
this
off
area.
Air to me all the time.
Hold on, let me finish. Don't no okay. jokes
yes,
right now.
Yeah, you do.
Because I run a radio station in the in this area, I could use this as a platform for my own agenda if I wanted to. But why would I? Right? Why would I do that? It's not here for that reason. It's here to provide entertainment for people that love Bollywood music. So why would I do that? But there's too many media outlets that don't think that way. They want to put a perspective out there that they believe that holds their position.
Yeah.
And that is a bad thing when media has that kind of control. So there's what is the system of measurement, Larry?
I have no idea. You're asking me?
I was hoping you, after you were ready
I'm
to
not,
make a
I'm
joke
a
about me, I was
media.
Hoping you'd jump in on this.
I'm not a part
but
of
no,
media.
I would like your opinion on how do we help? What are some suggestions that...
You mean as far as the media's concerned?
Yes, I mean, do you think there's any way that that's going to change?
No, it's actually gotten a lot worse. I mean, I see no light at the end of the tunnel as far as that goes.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, when you go online, social media, who do you believe anymore? I can't believe anybody. Even the police, I mean, the people I used to believe, I can't even believe.
The ones we were trained to are grown up.
Yeah, anything.
I should say, as we were growing up, we look at the authorities and say, these people are the ones I trust. Now, there's so many good law enforcement agents and police officers and across the board. Please know that I mean that. But the one or two that get out there and you watch a lot of things, now that it's easy to see anything you want these days on the internet, you see so many. I saw videos on YouTube of officers who were asking other cops to let them go when they were pulled over for erratic driving under the influence of alcohol, and they were sitting there, and I'm talking in some cases sheriffs and that were trying to talk their way out of getting arrested. And you know, it's again, it's one or two bad ones that make it look really bad on the other 98 or 99% that are doing their job the right way and commendably. Yeah. It's just that's the same way with the media. The media is the same way. It's the one or two that decide to take that position that ruin it.
Well, you remember the movie Serpico?
Yeah, but you tell me about that all the time.
I haven't told you about it one time.
Maybe somebody else had. Maybe it was
somebody else. But anyway, true story though.
Yeah,
true story.
What was the story again?
About corruption in the New York City Police Department.
Right.
I think it was the Drug Enforcement Agency or something like that, branch of the New York City Police Department, something like that.
Okay.
But there was, and it got found out. It was exposed. But of course, that kind of thing happens. You know, it's bound to happen anyway, and it does. Wherever money is involved, let's face it, it's going to happen. It happens in government all the time.
There will always be corruption, unfortunately.
There will always be corruption.
There's always going to be one or two bad people that are going to slip
at
into
least
any
that
organization.
Many.
Yeah.
At least
and that's many. And that's sort of the you know, you look at percentages. Life is about playing percentages, right?
Yeah.
There's no guarantee in anything. So you could do all the screening and vetting you want to do, but there's still going to be one that might slip through simply because they were able to be suave enough or savvy enough to get through.
Mm.
And then their agenda becomes the problem.
Well, we talk about, you know, what you just said about what can we do to make it better? I mean, what can we do to make that part of social media better and not so bogus? Because it is. And they only really talk about, a lot of them, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot, about things that are sensational. And Greg, I mean, how many times have we said it when there's a catastrophe or something that's worldwide or local or anything like that? It lasts for how long? A month, 2 months?
If that.
Then the hype's over with.
Look, the Gilroy shooting, I can honestly tell you, which is right in our backyard.
Whoever hears about that anyway.
I haven't heard about it since the second shooting happened shortly thereafter. This is not even an exaggeration. I live 20 miles.
That's right.
From where that happened.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen one thing. And I read the paper every day. I mean, there's probably stories out there, but the media has given up on it because it's old news. There's too many other things to talk about. And you know, look, just this weekend alone, we were talking about this off air. There was the fire this past weekend off Santa Cruz Island. They're expecting, again, the number might have changed, but over 30 people were unaccounted for. They're feared dead. We know that few already were dead. Three people escaped it. This wasn't at least we don't think it is any kind of foul play. It was just an unfortunate occurrence offshore that ended up harming people. But it was a significant amount of people at stake that are from this area, or at least a good portion of them. And it's a big story. So that gets into the news. The hurricanes down in off the Florida coast. My parents were in the middle of all that this past weekend, Labor Day weekend, and it was chaos down there. And that's all that anybody who lived in Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, all those areas were thinking about, because it was their lives at stake, right?
Yeah.
So there's other things that come into the news. Then this shooter happened again down here in Odessa, in Texas, this past week. So we can understand why these things get bumped off the front page, but how is it completely bumped out of the paper and out of the conversation altogether? We need to know what's going on. Do we know any more information? Should I feel safe about going to the Gilroy Garlic Festival next year? Has anything been, have they determined whether or not, why they didn't have an emergency plan there? That's something I almost want to get on the phone with somebody from Gilroy who organizes that event, because I've been going to that event for 5+ years. I didn't go this year because I was away. I probably would have gone. So you're telling me all those years I was on taking a charter bus 20 miles away to get to this garlic delicious food, and I was at danger because if something happened with thousands and thousands of people, you had no plan of evacuation from where we were, because I couldn't get to my car if I had to.
Yeah.
So these are problems that we have to start thinking about now. Otherwise, why is anybody going to go to any event or festival? They're going to feel like they're in danger.
So it all goes back to one thing, mental health. And that's why.
Thank you, yeah.
That's why we had the month of August, we had that dedicated toward mental health, and we had at least two guests on the show and another one coming back. But the thing is, and of course we talked about this too during the course of those shows, mental health is very complex and very layered. I mean, there is no one pat way to diagnose it or treat it. But everything we're doing right now, even if we took assault weapons away from everyone, at the core of it is some type of mental health that's a part of it.
Yes.
A very major part of it. That's what we really have to deal with.
Yeah.
That right there.
Somehow. You're right. In every case.
Every case.
I mean, you don't ever hear about shootings that are self-defense, right? You don't hear these things because it's not, you're really not doing anything that anybody else would do, or at least most people would do in defense of their own lives. But, you know, when you think about the people who are aggressively harming others or purposefully or, you know, with intent, most every one of these cases has a severe mental illness attached to it, right? Mm-hmm. Or something that set them off, right? I was reading about this shooter, this most recent shooter in Texas, and they were saying that his neighbor said that he would shoot rabbits and other animals from his house at night. I wouldn't feel okay with that if I was a neighbor.
I wouldn't either.
But they were saying they were afraid to say anything because they knew he wasn't stable. Like, what do you mean? Are you now a little bit disappointed in yourself for not, or sorry that you didn't say something? Because that, to me, if my neighbor is shooting animals from his window or his back porch, I'm going to tell somebody. I'll tell you right now, because that's not normal behavior. That's not something that I want my neighbor doing. Because what if when you're shooting those animals, there's a little kid outside, or maybe the neighbor's dog got out, or cat? You know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? So there's way bigger problems that we need to figure out. I understand that. But, you know, the bottom line is that I think we can keep having the conversation of mental health. Irem Choksi last week was amazing. And she is going to come back, not next week. So next week we have Joe Ellis from Lyme, Bay Area Lyme Foundation, which is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Lyme disease. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And then the following week we will not be here. And then the following week after that we will have another mental health and mental illness awareness show. And that will be Irem back.
Yeah. And this time I'll be able to.
You'll be here too, which is the main reason I'm bringing her back, because I know you'd want to speak to her. You're very engaged in this topic. But also, I will give the listeners a chance, if you want to email us any questions you'd like for us to ask.
That's a good idea.
You know, because I've been getting a lot of people that have been saying, like, they want to, you know, hear more about it, and they want to talk about it. So you could send us an email. Easiest thing is to just go to the Bali923 and get contact page and just click and it's forwarding. But you can go to daisypeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. You can email us there as well. daisypeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. And in that You could send questions you might want us to ask a mental health or a psychoanalyst, psychotherapist that is going to spend time talking about these things.
I think they call them mental health therapists.
Yeah, I just remember she said something when she was here, and I thought I was getting it right, but I didn't.
Didn't get her name right either.
I did. Well, not the first time, but it was because I was psyching myself out.
If I were here, I would
have
caught that. I would have.
She was psyching myself out. I know. That's why I wasn't happy you weren't here. I was quite disappointed.
Yeah, I wonder.
I had it all on my shoulders.
Said, look at the guy. He's a star.
At some point during the show, I get a little bit of a break. I could sort of like stop thinking for a second because you'll start talking.
Not always. Sometimes I'm silent. You know?
Yeah, very rarely, though, is it me talking, having to ask all the questions. I really enjoyed it. I could have kept going. The bottom line is sometimes I like to rest my voice, and you know, I couldn't do that.
I think you like talking.
You're wrong.
You just talk a lot.
No, I just feel like sometimes with you, I have to because you're so engaged in listening to the guests that you stop thinking about asking questions. I'm like, he's really enjoying it. Don't worry. He's so deep in his own head right now, he forgot he has to talk.
Well, I'm listening to what they have to say in preparation for my answer.
Yeah, or preparation for your question, you mean?
Yes. Well, yeah. Even for an answer, though.
Yeah.
To one of their questions, or yours, actually.
So,
but I think that,
let's spend a couple minutes. We have about 10 minutes left. I want to spend a few minutes talking about. So we decided we were going to have, we've been looking forever to get somebody from the Bay Area Lyme Foundation on. And because your daughter has Lyme disease.
Very severe
and
case.
For those people who aren't familiar with Lyme, it's actually born out of a tick bite.
Not always, but most commonly.
Most cases, it goes into UV. That's how it spread initially. A lot of people believe there's a big conspiracy theory, which I think if you do your own research, you can come to your own conclusion whether you believe it or not.
I think
that it was spread not purposefully by the government, but accidentally by our government, who were doing testing off of Oyster Island, I believe it was, in Long Island. And somehow or another on this island, they were doing this testing and it got off, and apparently one of these ticks bit a deer, and then the deer started to spread it like crazy. And this became an epidemic in this country. It's treatable, but it doesn't go away completely, and it creates havoc in people's lives. There's so many different symptoms. There's no real way to treat it. And worst part of it is it's not recognized as something by the government. They don't even acknowledge it happening, it's been millions of cases.
Yeah. Literally,
and devastation from these bites.
Oh, yeah.
And from the disease.
Yep.
But your health insurance doesn't cover it.
Mm-mm.
So, can you tell an abbreviated version of the story of like how you became, why you wanted to delve into this topic?
Well, because my daughter's got it. She apparently was bitten by a tick 15 plus years ago now in Santa Barbara during one of the fires, and it drove all the animals out of the mountains, foothills, into the community of Santa Barbara, and there was ticks everywhere. So apparently she was staying at her boyfriend's parents' house at the time, sleeping on the floor, and she was bitten by a tick, and it got into her hair and bit her there. I guess she brushed it out of her hair, didn't think she was bit by it, and she couldn't see the ring around it. That's usually a common thing that you see. Some 15 or more years later, she was actually diagnosed with it. But in the interim, she had a lot of different symptoms and was sick with a lot of different things during all those years. And they would treat those different things thinking that she would be fine after treating them, but she never was because they weren't treating the cause, which was Lyme disease. So you know, long story short, she's now having to pay out of pocket about $3,000 a month now.
$3,000 a month. Put that in perspective. That's $36,000 a year on just medicine to keep yourself healthy.
That's
without any help from your medical insurance.
No.
Which you're forced to have, by the way, in this country. You have to have medical insurance. So you're paying for your medical insurance, but you're not getting covered. So that's coming out of pocket, which is, again, a flaw of our healthcare system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So anyway, needless to say, I contacted her yesterday. We were texting back and forth. She went and had a 3-hour surgery, has had a a pick or a picket put in her arm up around her bicep, I guess. Okay.
Sort of
for the
IV.
For the IV, and fed to a tube or something up into her heart.
Okay.
So the medication goes directly into
wow.
her heart. Yeah,
I've never heard that.
It's very involved. And very high possibility of infection around where the port is.
Uh-huh.
So she has to be very careful about getting it wet and all that. But that has to be administered 5 times a week. She's got 2 times off, and then 5 times she's got to do that, if you can imagine. The other day is called herxing, where when you're being treated for this type of thing, the antibiotics are killing off the disease. I don't know what they call what is killing off, but the disease. And it actually aggravates your symptoms, and she was actually paralyzed from her waist down for 2 hours. She couldn't walk.
Can you? And I know there are people with Lyme that actually, when it flares up, that happens to them.
Yeah.
Like they're unable to walk. They're unable to use their hands.
Yep.
Some crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad disease.
Very
it's
bad.
One that people kind of think because it doesn't necessarily kill you in most cases, but it decreases your quality of life in some cases to the point where some people are desperate to get help because it's so bad.
In
some cases, they're permanently disabled
because
they can't get the right treatment or they can't figure out how to treat it.
And
that's the weird part of it. They
yeah.
don't know how to, every case is different and they don't know how to treat it.
Yeah, and this gets political, so I'm not even going there. But just so you know, it's very important. If you're out on a hike or anything like that, and what was you said your buddy up in New York was golfing?
Yeah, golfing.
And he got Lyme.
And his wasn't even in New York, but he was here in California when he got it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
It was here, okay.
Believe it or not, yes.
Wow. Well, I do believe it because we have a huge instance of Lyme disease here in the Bay.
And I have another friend who basically lost a toe because of it, because wow. I had a bite that got into the toe, and then it ended up causing massive problems.
Was
circulation
that Lyme
problems.
Too?
Yeah, from a tick.
I didn't
from
know.
From a tick, yeah. But it wasn't Lyme, it was a tick bite, but the tick was carrying Lyme, but that was the Lyme isn't what caused that, but it caused
okay.
problems from the tick
yeah,
bite.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
this, it's what I'm getting at is it's all from these ticks that are carrying the disease
yeah.
are really, you always have to wear long pants and socks if
it's
you're
true,
in
yeah.
high grass mm-hmm. or if you're in any kind of weeds or in the woods.
In the woods, they drop out of the
don't
trees
wear
too.
No, like those ankle socks. Yeah, because you don't even know. You don't even feel them. They burrow
no,
into
you
your
don't.
Skin.
No, you don't feel them.
So, like, you have to, they say you should check your dog if you go, even
yeah.
your dog, because they could get it. And
especially
for them, it
your
could
dog.
Kill them, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, you could be walking through, like, grass thinking nothing, and it latches onto your leg or into the hair on your leg or whatever. And you won't know as it slowly burrows into your skin. And by the time it gets in there, it's already in there.
Yeah.
So at that point, you go to the hospital or doctor and have
right.
it removed. But basically, once it gets in there, it's over. So you
yeah.
have to check. And sometimes you'll see them burrowing in, pull them out. Or they
yeah.
say you could even burn it with
yeah,
like a lighter.
Yeah, with a match or a lighter. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But get it out
mm-hmm.
because once it gets in there, you're doomed. And then it becomes a bad, bad situation
yeah.
moving forward. I wanted to quickly ask, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
How long does your daughter have to go through those treatments, the $300,000 a month?
At least 2 years.
So this is a couple of years she's going to have. So it's going to cost almost $100,000 essentially
yeah.
to treat this. Because I'm sure there were other expenses associated with it. Mm. So just because of a tick bite. And it's everywhere now.
It's
used to be a big
now.
Problem in upstate New York and in New York in general.
And that's where I usually heard about it. But now it's a big problem here in the South Bay.
Yeah, it's become a problem everywhere. It's no longer just a...
No.
It's
not an isolated thing
no.
anymore.
And the worst part of it is that they just don't really know what they're treating. Because, again, for whatever reason, the government doesn't recognize it as a real disease.
When Joe comes in, she'll be a lot
we're gonna,
more...
Yeah, this basically what we're getting at is we're going to learn about...
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
How do we deal with it? How do you get treated? Where do you get treated? Who should you speak to if you do have Lyme disease? If you have something wrong with you right now and you haven't been able to put your finger on it, because
yeah.
that's sort of how it is for people
this
for a
right.
long time.
Absolutely
they
right.
get tired. You feel listless.
Yeah.
Your arms are feeling tingly. Things like that. Like
yeah.
you might not know what it might have been that's causing it. It could be Lyme.
Do we have their website so we can...
The Bay Area Lyme?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll look
it
up
real quick. Put
it out
there really quickly. because you can check it out right now. What they do is they will send you a list of doctors that they recommend, and there's grants involved in that. They're very, very helpful now.
So I just searched Bay Area Lyme Foundation, and it's just bayarealyme.org. It's L-Y-M-E, though, just in case. So it's Bay Area, L-Y-M-E.org. Yeah. But if you just Google Bay Area Lyme Foundation, you'll get it. And we're very excited because Joe Ellis is probably one of the more knowledgeable people about this subject, definitely out that I know of in the Bay Area, and we
I think when I had called this morning or this no this is days ago now that they said they are the largest organization of its type in the U.S.
Right, that's amazing.
It is right here in our backyard.
100% of the funds that get raised by them also goes directly to research and prevention programs because they have a generous private donor that's helped a lot. But they're great, and they actually, I just went to the site, they're committed to making tick-borne disease easy to diagnose and simple to cure. That's their whole mission.
Yeah, I love that mission.
They even do this like tick testing, they call. You can go for free. They'll give you a test to find out if you've been bit.
And that's big.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about this next week with Joe Ellis. We're over time, but I wanted to let you want to say your last thought here.
If we're over time, be aware. Talking about the Lyme thing, it's hit me very personally. I hope it doesn't hit you that way. Do your research.
Thank you for that. And again, next week we'll have Joe Ellis from Bay Area Lyme in here, and we'll talk more about that, and then we'll revisit some of these mental health awareness issues later in the month as well. And we'll be back again next week for another edition of People Helping People on Bali Radio.